listening to the most original talk radio station anywhere. We are LA Talk Radio at latalkradio.com.
You're listening to State of the Art with Michael Sterling and Paul Strolley right here on LA Talk Radio.
Indeed you are. Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. This is Michael Sterling.
Yes, you are, you sexy bastard.
Well, thank you. At least somebody said it.
Huh? I am Paul Strolley. Maybe it's not wise to take a sip of water right before I say my name. Can you tell I'm a seasoned radio pro?
Really?
Can you tell?
Yeah.
Does it show?
A veteran, as they say.
A vet, yes.
Yeah, a vet.
I fought in the radio war. I'm a vet. We'd like to thank our presenting sponsor, Breakdown Services. Breakdown Services is the entertainment industry standard used around the world, providing the most professional means to reach talent agents as well as actors when casting a project. To learn more about Breakdown Services, visit www.breakdownexpress.com.
Our thanks also goes out to PerformingArtsLive.com for their ongoing support of our live arts calendar. PerformingArtsLive.com is the most comprehensive such listing service in Southern California, enabling you to search events by date, category, and region.
The stars have definitely aligned for today's broadcast, with both being from the Great White Way.
And you couldn't be more right, Paul. Why did you read it like that? You see, you threw me off when you read that copy like that.
I read it. You wrote it.
I did, exactly.
I can only do so much.
I know. One man's job. But in just a few minutes, ladies and gentlemen, we'll be speaking by telephone with the former star of Broadway's Wicked and television's Saturday Night Live, Miss Anna Gasteyer. Anna? Yes, thank you.
She's not here yet.
We
have to call her shortly.
We'll be calling her in just
a few
minutes.
She's in a fitting right now.
That's right.
And we didn't want to talk to her naked, so we decided that...
Well,
not that there would be anything
wrong
with talking to her naked, but we just thought it wiser to wait until she was
okay.
Closed.
We'll do that. And in studio with us today, Paul, is a Tony Award winner. Her name is Daisy Egan from The Secret Garden on Broadway, and such films as Losing Isaiah and Tony and Tina's Wedding. Welcome, Daisy.
Welcome, Daisy. I didn't know that we had a common credit. I didn't do the film Tony and Tina's Wedding, but I did the original Chicago cast. I did Vinnie Black for
a
year and a half. Yeah, it was fun.
Vinnie Black, the wedding planner.
Cadillac of Caterers, babe.
You know it.
Beautiful. I didn't even know there was a film of Tony and Tina's Wedding.
Yeah, most people don't. Probably better that way, really.
Did Nasser do it? Did Mark Nasser, the original Tony, did he do the
film? No. Everything was somebody new.
Oh.
And
who did you play?
I played Donna Marsalis, the bridesmaid.
Yeah, one of the bridesmaids.
Mm-hmm.
Oh.
It was an interesting experience.
Joey McIntyre.
Oh, okay, yeah.
We'll talk about that. Boy, I tell you, so glad you can't. Here are the eyes roll. But I have my own Tony and Tina stories, which we'll share later on in the hour. But before we get to that, Michael, how was your week?
It was good. It was good. Filled with theater over the weekend. I'll be talking about this a little bit later, about the Hollywood Bowl's production of Hairspray.
Hairspray, yeah. Oh, that star-studded.
Yes, star-studded, to say the least. And 1776, of course, out of the Glendale Center Theater, which has been an ongoing discussion on this program for the past few weeks.
And just still kicking ass and taking names over there?
Absolutely.
Or did they wrap that up?
Yeah, no. One more week. It closes on Saturday of this week.
It's a great
week.
Production.
Yeah. I saw it.
Saw it on Saturday,
and I loved it.
I love that
I really
musical.
Did.
And
I,
it's so rarely performed. It's so nice to see it.
I had actually never seen it before.
Really?
Mm-mm.
Yeah.
I had never seen it before, and I really liked it. And, I have to say, I sort of hate going to theater in L.A. Well, I hate going to theater, just generally speaking.
Really?
Well, it's so expensive, and a lot of times I don't feel like I've gotten what I paid for, especially when it's like I'm paying $100 or $200 for a ticket.
Yeah, right. That's true.
I really enjoyed it. Yeah. I really thought it was great. I thought the cast was great. Obviously, the music was beautiful and the story is compelling and so apropos for right now.
Yeah, and also what I like about it so much is that how you can be so entranced in something where everyone knows the ending. It's like we all know what happened.
Exactly.
We know it got signed. Yeah. And yet you're still hanging on every word because it's executed so well.
And beautifully.
Yeah.
And kind of chills going up the
up
the spine. That's cool. So that and another event called Kritzerland at the Gardenia, which is another event that we talk about periodically.
Yes.
And their salute to the music of Harvey Schmidt and Tom Jones.
Excellent.
And what a great weekend of entertainment that was. But Ed, you, on the other hand, went to Chicago.
I went to Chicago for my niece's wedding, which was a lot of fun. I had never been to a Mormon wedding before. So it was
a Mormon wedding?
You don't actually go to a Mormon wedding, because if you're not Mormon, you can't go into it. It's sort of a ring ceremony afterwards. But it was fascinating. Very,
really?
Very interesting. And studying different faiths, you know, my...
Why can't you go in?
It's because the Mormon temple, the only people who can go into the Mormon temple are Mormons, and that's where it takes place. But they do this...
How do you convert to Mormonism, then, if you can't get into the temple?
That's a good question. I'm sure there's a procedure.
You have to ask six times, Judaism?
Yes, you have to ask six times.
You don't want it hard enough.
Click your heels, turn around, and say, the pizza is blue in December. At which point, a dwarf will come up and say, I've got the yo-yo. It's a little involved, but
I guess so.
It was wonderful. It was wonderful to see my nieces and nephews. That was great.
How was the flight?
I have a protocol question.
If
you're in the middle seat, don't you think that the person in the middle seat should be entitled to both armrests because they're stuck in the middle seat?
Are we talking about on the plane?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Because if you got the aisle person has the aisle, that's their perk. The window person has the window. That's their perk. The center seat should be given both armrests, don't you think?
I would have to, I suppose I would agree. I think it'd be lovely. A lovely gesture, certainly, of the people on each side of you. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm just curious. I don't really have any sort of...
Why are you asking?
Just because, you know, sometimes you get on a flight, as my flight out there was, and it's like three guys who are about my size and the thing, and I was trying to give the armrest to the guy, and he was not really taking me up on it. He had, like, his elbows pitched in, like he was, you know, this pterodactyl.
Maybe he has a phobia of armrests.
It could be.
You know?
Could have been a germ thing.
Billy Bob Thornton has a phobia of silverware and furniture.
Watch it turn out. Watch. We'll get a call now. This guy was actually disabled with some sort of strange elbow pitched in disorder, and he thinks I'm mocking him on the radio.
Good Lord.
Wouldn't that be just my luck?
Good Lord.
But so he didn't take you up on the offer. Mm-mm. And what did you do? Did you ask him about
it? No, I just it generated this whole discussion on the thing, because I don't like chatty plane guy.
Yeah.
You know, you get on a plane and you get someone next to you, and you start off with, you know, well, I was born. And so I don't like to begin that. I like that fourth airplane wall.
I'm the same way with my hairdresser.
Yeah.
Such as it is. I'm like, you know what? Don't. Let's not. Just cut my hair.
Yeah, because the thing is, they have a little...
Be careful, though. They do have scissors.
They have a little Rolodex, though. Did you ever notice the hairdressers always come back and pick up the same story? Because they're like, oh, it's Daisy, and we talked about this last time.
Oh, yeah.
And then for nine visits, you talk about the same thing, because that's where... My hairdresser used to do that all the time.
How's your cold? Like,
yeah, right, exactly.
Gone. Thank you.
So how's your daughter? She's in college. Thanks. The newborn is in college. Michael, would you introduce Anna? And I'm going
I
to try
will.
To call her while you're introducing her.
I will do. Okay. Indeed. So, ladies and gentlemen, as we said earlier, we have a wonderful guest with us this afternoon who has literally flown in from New York City today to go right into rehearsal and a costume fitting for a new show that she is doing in Los Angeles this week. And she was seen weekly between 1996 and 2002 on the iconic television variety series Saturday Night Live, for which she created many of the show's most memorable characters. Her theater credits include not only starring as Elphaba in Wicked on Broadway and originating the role in the musicals Chicago Sit Down, but The Royal Family and The Threepenny Opera, both on Broadway. She makes her West Coast Cabaret nightclub debut this week at Hollywood's Catalina Bar and Grill. And in just a few minutes, we're going to welcome Anna Gasteyer.
We're going to welcome Anna Gasteyer. We're dialing out now. You probably hear that ringing. And let's see what she has to say. Hopefully she will pick up. It's exciting, isn't it?
It is, yeah.
I'm on the edge of my
seat. Ring three, ring four.
Hello?
Hello, we're looking for Anna Gasteyer if she's there.
You reached it. I feel like I'm on a game show. Well,
you just won. Anna, you win the oven mitt. That's right.
Well, I hope. If it's an oven mitt, I'm excited. I was going to say, I hope you're not asking any questions because God knows I don't know the answers.
Anna, first off, my name is Paul Strolley. Michael Sterling is here as well.
Hello, Anna.
How are you?
Hi, guys.
And Daisy Egan is with us. Daisy, say hello.
Hi, Anna.
Daisy, did I get your last name right?
You did.
Okay, good. I'm sorry. We just met. So, Anna, thank you so much for. We know that you're in the middle of rehearsal, and you just flew in today. Is that correct?
I flew in late last night, but it's about the same diff.
It's about the same diff, and I called earlier when you were unclothed, so I apologize
for that. Oh, isn't that exciting?
I tell you.
Well, it was for many of us, yeah.
I was all a tither. It was hard to tell on the radio, but I was... But anyway, so we know you have a lot on your dance card, so we're grateful that you are talking to us. But before we actually get to the meat of this, can you give us a kickoff and let us know exactly what this cabaret is about that you're in town to do so briefly?
Yeah, I'm in town. I'm in town for a couple of reasons. I'm working on a new show for ABC called Suburgatory, which I'm very excited about.
Yes.
And then I also have a show that it's my own show. It's called Elegant Songs from a Handsome Woman. And it's kind of a marriage between, you know, I have these two personalities. I have the personality that was on Saturday Night Live, like all the personalities and the wigs and the glasses and the funny lady. And then I have this kind of serious Broadway lady personality because I pursued Broadway after I left SNL and I sang Elphaba and Wicked and I did the Three Penny Opera and Stephen Sondheim's show Passion. So I have kind of this, like, totally other resume.
Right.
So I was kind of looking for a way to, like, marry the two without being so serious and boring. And this kind of came out in the middle.
Oh, okay.
it's my singing. It's my lady who sings with a band personality. It's a very old-fashioned show. It's kind of a late 50s, early 60s vibe. We really just wanted to create an environment that's like a, you know, like a big party. Like everybody have a cocktail and celebrate together and have a good time. And my band is hilarious and fantastic. I have five pieces, and it's a lot of songs that make me really happy and make me want to dance around my living room.
That was actually going to be my next question. And Michael here is much more versed in cabaret than I. He actually has a supper club out here himself. Sterling's upstairs.
Oh, wow.
And but I'm always curious when I hear about people doing cabaret things. How do you arrive at the content? Everyone obviously has a different process, but what? Is it just as simple as just songs that move you, or is it a thematic theme that you arrive at before you put the show together, or what?
Yeah, different people come to it from different places, but I'll tell you, I've done a lot of cabaret, you know, like I said, and because I do come from this SNL background, I always have Broadway fans who show up, but then I always have a lot of people show up from the SNL world, and they get really sad and disappointed when I sing ballads. And there's no feeling quite so disheartening as a performer looking out at a bunch of sad people.
Are they looking for Bobby Culp? Is that it? Are they looking for...
I think they're just looking for, for a little bit more color and fun. And I am, I'm a lively and fun person. So I do sing ballads because that's a huge part of, who I am. And vocally, I was a trained singer. And there are a few nice, lovely moments that I've dedicated in to various people in the show. But with this particular set, every set comes... To answer your question, every set comes organically out of the theme that's important to the performer. So, you could do the Seven Deadly Sins and pick, seven sinful songs or whatever.
Right,
but
that's
for
a good
me,
idea. I think I'm stealing that. Thank you, Anna.
I think I just stole it from somebody else. I think it might have been Audra McDonald. But anyway.
Audra.
It's okay. There's a lot of themes that get repeated, too. They're called myths. They're things that everybody uses. But for me, this time around, I was really looking to create kind of a festive party situation and to go back to that kind of power that female, Ella Fitzgerald, Sarah Vaughan, really influential, and a lot of classic, American songbook songs, but then also novelty songs that really genuinely just make me laugh out loud. And I didn't want music or comedy songs, like where I was playing a character as much as songs that just, this sounds so like arty, but that kind of like things with a musical sense of humor and a good time to them. And I like shuffles. I like songs that make you want to get up and, shimmy or, do a little jig. So those songs tend to make me laugh a little bit. And I wanted a bigger orchestra. I wanted a decent horn player and horn section just so we could have, you know, horns have a lot of comedy instruments. Horn players can play. Clarinets are funny. I just wanted instrument. I wanted bongos. You know, I wanted to kind of explore that.
Nice.
So I laid on the floor, and I listened to a ton of Louis Prima, and I listened to a ton of early Sarah Vaughan, and I listened to, you know, I listened to performers that had a good time in front of a band. Francis Fay, you know, people that could really, like, light up a room. Blossom Deary has a lot of sense of humor in what she does. So
Right. That's
kind of the, you know, those are all cabaret references. But, you know, it's and I thought a lot, honestly, about, like, early Bette Midler, like, just that experience of, I wanted people truly to feel like they'd come to my, you know, 40th birthday party.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
It's funny that you mentioned that, because you talk about songs with a, you know, musical sense of humor. Michael and I were talking. I've always wanted to do a cabaret act of all Loudon Wainwright songs. Because
Of all what?
Loudon Wainwright. Do you know Loudon Wainwright III?
Yeah.
Rufus and Martha's dad. And he's just one of the, someone said once that if Loudon Wainwright wasn't funny, he would be Bob Dylan. And that's exactly, because he just wrote, he was a folk singer, but he wrote just incredibly clever, witty songs.
Yes, and I think there's something to be, that, exactly, and it's just a likable and approachable evening. And obviously both of his children have kind of inherited a real sense of the theatrical out of that, you know, and made for a fun and entertaining night, I think. There's so many great songs. There's thousands and thousands of great songs, and every time you think you've picked your set list, you hear something and you think, you know, I just heard this, you know, Burn Me Like a Witch song that Eartha Kitt used to perform, and I thought, oh, I wish I did that. You know, there's just, it just doesn't ever stop.
No, you always see them coming in.
Well, Anna, this is Michael Sterling. You certainly are very enthusiastic about this, and I'm thrilled for you. And Los Angeles, can't wait to see this performance. It's coming up at Catalina Bar and Grill, ladies and gentlemen, this week on Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. That's August 11th, 12th, and 13th at our legendary Catalina Jazz Club on Sunset Boulevard in Hollywood. And showtime is at 8:30 p.m., ladies and gentlemen.
Yep.
And for tickets, it's quite simple. You can either go online to the producers, which is Upright Cabaret, and that's uprightcabaret.com/events, or by phone at 323-466-2210. And for more information about this and other Upright Cabaret presentations, you can also visit them again at that same website, uprightcabaret.com. And I look forward to seeing you, Anna, on your opening this week.
Well, that's good. I hope that you order, you know, like a big, like a something you've never heard of before to drink.
Okay.
You know, it could be a mocktail. It's fine with me if it's a mocktail or a cocktail, but I want everybody to have something they've never had before. I want, you know, a Rob Roy or something in everybody's hand.
Nice.
I probably shouldn't mention this, but Michael has a cocktail named after him there.
Oh, well, then everybody should order that.
Yes, well, what would that be?
Does it have umbrellas in it? I just care about that. Umbrellas and cherries, a little tiny cherry.
I don't know. I totally set myself up, and I got no payoff for that.
No way to get out of that.
None at all.
Well, I'm not going to name a cocktail after myself because no one will be able to pronounce it, and they won't be served.
So
they'll be asked to leave.
Here's my question for you. Being that you have roots in theater as well, and you've done all this marvelous work on television, and
thank you.
Do you, with many people who come from the theater stage, and they, when it comes to doing their own cabaret show, their own nightclub show like that, it's a whole different ballpark for them, and many of them can't really make themselves available to it, so they just don't do it. You know, I mean, it's just too difficult a process for them to do it. I think the way that you've described what you're doing is probably the way that many of them should consider doing this, right?
I mean, I think you have to do it from a place that means something to you. You know, I think it has to be fun and challenging in and of itself. And I don't know. I really like connecting with, I mean, the reason I love the theater and the stage in general is I really like connecting with an audience, you know, and obviously I have a career in film and television too, but it's a much more removed experience from your audience. So what's great about the theater is that, and then what's even warmer and more connected is the nightclub experience. You know, I mean, I literally did learn from, I went to see Bette Midler at Radio City, you know, 10 years ago, and that is like as unintimate a house as you could possibly ask for. And I felt like she was my best friend, and that we had just hung out and had coffee. And I had nosebleeds. I had like $7,000 nosebleed tickets, like way far, far away.
Right.
And, you know, all of those things could have conspired to feel very, you know, distant and far away from her. And that's that access that you really want. And I, you know, she started in small clubs. She started in a place that connected her to her audience really deeply. And I think that's what's really special about a night like this. You know, if you're a fan of a given performer, that you really do get to it's a very up close and personal experience. I mean, many of these clubs only have, you know, maximum 200 seats or whatever.
Right.
So it's a really fun and intimate way to kind of be there with people, you know, and be in their house. I emailed all my friends and told them I would come to their houses and perform for them if they couldn't come to this one. So, you know, just want that experience to go across.
I'd go just based on the title alone.
Thank you. Well, my mother, the title is Elegant Songs from a Handsome Woman.
Yes.
And it really did come from the fact, actually, to speak to what you were also saying, you know, I have agents and they call up and they say, what'd you do? You know, a nightclub act. And I had this kind of serious Broadway side of myself and, you know, the part that warmed up and cooled down. And I thought, oh, yes, I have to have a very sophisticated nightclub act. And I booked Feinstein's in New York, which is a very fancy uptown room.
Of course.
And you always sort of hope to get that. And when you get that booking, you take it very seriously. And it was just making me, eventually it was like, what am I doing? I'm just trying to get, you know, trying to put lipstick on a pig. You know, I mean, you know, I have an elegant side, but it was just kind of making me laugh. And I think it's fun to kind of wink at that idea. And then right in the middle of the sort of elegant exploration, my mother actually really did tell me that I had grown into a very handsome woman, which is sort of a stunning compliment, especially from one's own mother. And, you know, and definitely, she's actually said that I had developed into a very handsome woman, which is definitely not a verb that you ever use with your children, even if they're in their early 40s.
Yeah, you never want developed to be followed by handsome.
No, it's just way too Judy Blume, the whole thing. So I've developed into a handsome woman. I don't know what it was prior to being handsome, but it just made me laugh, and I thought, you know what, this is exactly what it should be. I'm a handsome woman, and I'm going to put on a real pretty dress, and I'm going to try my hardest to have a classy evening and maintain my dignity.
Well, speaking of classy evenings, I want to say something, addendum to what Michael said earlier, because I think this is important for people who are purchasing tickets for the show. I noticed this note here, Michael. Tickets purchased online receive first priority in seating.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's an important thing to know, because a lot of times people, you know, I always prefer to make my reservations online because I print something out. I have something tactile to take there,
right.
You know.
Yes,
but,
and they'll be sitting closer up, and that means that they will be able to see me both breathe and possibly get a shot of my Spanx.
Oh, good.
That could be special for an upfront seat.
So people are really going to get their money's worth, in other words, right?
Yeah. We aim to please at the Upright Cabaret.
Why did you leave that off? Why isn't it Elegant Songs from a Handsome Woman in Spanx? Yes.
Well, I think that's just assumed. When the word handsome is used to describe a woman, I think there's no doubt that she's wearing either a man or a woman's Spanx.
Handsome Spanx. There's a name of a rock band right there. Ladies and gentlemen, the Handsome Spanx.
Unfortunately, that's basically my house.
Anna, we have to go in a little bit, but we have a thing that we usually do at the end of the hour, but since we're not going to keep you on the phone the whole time, we want to just ask you if it pops into your head, especially from your Saturday Night Live years. We always ask people the worst catastrophe, most embarrassing thing ever happen to them in performance, and we're just curious if you had one at the ready, if there's any particular story that sticks out in your head.
You know, I have a couple. I mean, they're nothing particularly interesting. I mean, I did have a quick change disaster on Saturday Night Live when I did the Betty White show last year, but it sort of turned out well. But it was one of those. I've done four Broadway shows. I did 6 years on Saturday Night Live, and I've done a lot of quick changes. Is my point? Changes where you have 45 seconds to change your entire costume before you can get back on stage.
Right.
And we had a costume malfunction. The women in your audience will understand this. There's sometimes these dresses that have a lining beneath, and the dress can get separated from the lining, and if you step into it wrong, it's a tangled mess.
Right.
And it was a repeated disaster where we could not get into the dress. I was going from the NPR sketch with Betty White, where Molly Shannon and I did the Dusty Muffin sketch, into this dancing sketch, Manuel Ortiz that Fred Armisen does. And the whole joke is that, you know, the guest would say one thing and then there'd be the salsa music and people would like salsa on. The next guest would salsa on.
Right.
So we you know, they're short. It was 90 seconds, maybe 120 seconds, 2 minutes during the commercial break. And I know the cues well enough, but it had been a while. I haven't been on the show 6-7 years. And literally, like, the band stopped playing. It was silent. Like, and I am standing in pantyhose and a strapless bra and a wig. And this hairdresser, who I've never worked with before, is standing screaming, holding her T-shirt over her head, saying, just wear this, just wear this. And I would have been such a lovely week, and I thought, you know, the muffin thing was so fun and funny. It was such a great reunion, and all the girls were back together. And I thought, oh, my God, this is going to happen to me now on live television. I am now going to walk out in pantyhose, a G-string, a strapless bra, and a wig. And there's nothing I can do about it, possibly wear my hairdressers. But anyway, we ended up ripping the lining out and yanking it up. And then they just, the lead dresser, Donna, who's this total genius, Donna Richards, just, like, jammed a pin in there. And I ended up having sort of a slip on. And the irony is that I got, like, 5 phone calls saying, like, that brown dress was great in that Manuel Ortiz thing. But that happened. And then I was on the bus, on the subway in New York City about 2 weeks later. And this girl comes up to me and said, oh, I saw your quick change disaster at Saturday Night Live.
Oh, that's funny.
Because she was in the bleachers. Because actually all those changes happen pretty much in open light. I mean,
oh,
you think
okay.
that you're obscured for your disaster, but in fact, about 300 audience members saw me. So that was good. And then the other thing is, you know, in Wicked, you're just so, that is such an exhausting part, Elphaba. And, you know, on those 2 show days when you do a matinee and an evening show, I had one performance. It was an evening performance where I wiped out I went into Chaturanga, like the yoga pose, plank pose, 3 separate times in one performance. As the witch, and my hat flew off, you know, the works. But, you know, what are you going to do? I was very tired. There were, you know, I just kind of missed my footing, basically, and went flying down. Yeah. So it's not that interesting, but definitely did happen.
No, but we love to hear.
One of the Elphabas flew into the orchestra pit at one point. Oh. Because it's a very slippery stage.
Oh, so you should consider yourself lucky that you just...
I did consider myself lucky. What with all the flying and whatnot. But nothing worse had happened.
Really? Anna, so let me ask you a question with regard to what you're doing here this week in Los Angeles.
Yeah.
Do you have any fast changes in your show?
Let me tell you, I don't have any quick changes. I do have to walk out
okay.
and get up. And I have some pretty high heels on. So you know what? Anything could happen.
Well, thank you so much, Anna. Once
Absolutely.
Again, for tickets to Elegant Songs from a Handsome Woman, go to uprightcabaret.com/events, or you can call them at 323-466-2200. Delighted to have you on, Anna.
Hey, it was great being here. Are we all done?
I think we are almost done. I just wanted to remind
everyone,
Catalina Bar and Grill, Catalina Jazz Club, as it's also known, this week, August 11th, 12th, and 13th, ladies and gentlemen, showtime is at 8:30 p.m. Don't miss this wonderful opportunity, and it's her West Coast debut.
It is my West Coast debut, and I'm really excited about the show. I hope I get to see you guys there, and I hope everybody comes with a happy attitude and ready for a good time, gal.
Well, and has a Rob Roy.
I'll be there.
I'll be really drunk.
Daisy Egan has announced that she will be there, and she will be really...
I'll be drunk as hell.
Oh, well, that's how we like it.
Yeah.
And then I'll make sure right before the encore to make everybody start drinking water so they drive well.
Always thinking of others, aren't you?
She's a giver. Thank you, Anna.
Okay, take care. UprightCabaret.com.
You got it.
Bye-bye. Oh, she was a joy.
Delightful lady.
That was nice.
Yes, indeed.
Enjoyed talking to her.
Yeah. So that's nice. You're going to be there? You're going to try to make it over there?
I do. I do have a Groupon for the Catalina.
Do you?
I bought a few months ago.
And you are going to get hammered? Just get hammered and just
I
go
might.
Over and just... Yeah.
I might. I like to make a fool of myself in public.
Do you?
Yeah. I like people to be like, what happened to Daisy Egan?
You know, because, Paul, I just watched this beautiful woman as a child this morning on some clips on the internet, on YouTube.
Yeah.
Her performance in The Secret Garden, and also the amazing acceptance speech that you gave when you won the Tony Award, which was had me like, I was like losing it.
Me too.
Yeah, obviously. So for you to say that now, after I saw that the image of you at 11, that's a little, I have to take pause for a moment and, you know, readjust my thinking.
Yeah, I like that. I like that kind of dichotomy. I like that people have in their head an image of me one way, and then I get to present something else.
Well, we're going to find out more about Daisy in a moment, ladies and gentlemen, but we have a little bit of some arts in our arts calendar.
Yes, the arts calendar, Michael.
Yeah.
You want to kick it off?
Absolutely. First of all, Paul, what I wanted to talk about was the Hollywood Bowl's production of Hairspray, which, of course,
oh, yes.
was at the Bowl over this past weekend, reuniting the show's original Broadway stars, Harvey Fierstein and Marissa Jarrett-Winoker. And that was their West Coast, their debut, actually, doing the show together anyplace else but Broadway. And the show also featured a star-studded cast, including John Stamos, Susan Anton, Drew Carey, and superstar recording artist and teen heartthrob Nick Jonas of the Jonas Brothers.
And they are?
Those
Jonas?
Are three, yeah, what? Three guys that recorded a few records and made a little bit of a splash.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Let me tell you something. Mr. Nick Jonas was truly a major star in that show.
You know I was joking, right?
Oh, yeah, okay. Of course, yeah. No, I'm just saying
that's somewhat under a rock.
They're in the tradition of the Everly Brothers.
Are they?
Yeah.
Okay.
Same kind of thing.
Is it?
Mm-hmm.
Or Righteous?
Uh-huh.
Was it Everly
or
Righteous?
Both. It's sort of a combination.
You could buy the Righteous Everly Brothers.
I think, honestly, Paul, that this production for the Hollywood Bowl's annual summer musical, which they do one of every year like this, is probably the best production they've done in the last three or four
really?
Years.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
It was Jerry Mitchell directed it. It truly was nonstop fun from the beginning of the show to the end of the show. Great set, you know, great lighting. It was just a wonderful energy. You know, it's got a great score and it's fun to listen to and fun to watch. And they actually can pull it off on that great big stage. And they had an orchestra with them on the, you know, split in two sections that kind of framed the whole proscenium there. And man, I mean, to see Harvey Fierstein do this still is awesome in
itself. I really enjoyed that show when I saw it.
Yeah.
I thought it was, I really
did. Did you see the Broadway production?
I did.
No?
And I, you know.
With Harvey Fierstein?
Mm-hmm. And I, you know, like I said, with me with theater, it's a little iffy.
Oh.
So I wasn't, I don't know, I went in with low expectations, but I loved it. I thought it was a lot of fun.
Had you seen the film before it?
Oh, yeah.
No?
Yeah. I remember my family and I went to see it on Easter Sunday one year.
Oh, the movie.
Yeah. At a little movie theater in Brooklyn. And for some reason, I have that memory. I don't know why.
Isn't it funny with six with you, like, you're tactile, so what you remember?
Yeah.
Exactly.
I'm trying to think of...
Yeah. I only saw it on the stage one other time, which was...
You seen the film before you'd seen the stage play?
I have not seen the film
really?
At all.
What?
Really?
Yeah.
The John Waters? You haven't?
Oh, the original.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
That's
yeah.
what we're talking about, right?
Yeah.
Oh, yes, of course.
I haven't seen the remake.
Yeah, no, I didn't want to see the remake,
no,
actually.
Oh, that's right. It was remade with Travolta.
John Travolta.
Yes,
yeah.
That's why I didn't want to see the remake.
It just looked like a train wreck.
A little bit.
I don't know. I didn't
In all due respect to the film. But, I mean, the stage play certainly holds itself up, and nicely so.
Yeah.
But I started to say, with regard to Nick Jonas, is he certainly held his own against all of these veteran people from the theater, such as Harvey and Melissa. Marissa. Did I say Melissa? Forgive me, Marissa. Which was something, I think, to be said, or to be pointed out, that a young man that young, I know he's had some experience, you know, doing Les Mis recently, the concert version of it, and some theater experience in general, but he's still a pop recording artist, you know, and that's really where he lives, and that's what he makes living at, but...
But you develop some chops as a stage performer when you have a schedule like they do. I mean, you can pin so much on the teen heartthrob thing, but those guys have to really—they have
and
to
he
deliver.
And he has a good voice. I don't think he has a real legitimate theater voice, but he certainly has a presence and knows what he's doing on a stage. And thousands of people reacted to that, and certainly many of his fan base was there supporting him through those performances. But it was a great evening, and. Ladies and gentlemen, something you should always pay attention to. To me, a summer without the Hollywood Bowl is not really a summer unless you're there. And they always do just one Broadway show during the summer and make it a point to get there because they're all pretty wonderful. But this one happened to be spectacular. And then, Paul, real briefly, went to the event Critcherland at the Gardenia restaurant in Hollywood, and saw the wonderful tribute to Harvey Jones and Tom... Harvey Schmidt and Tom Jones. I am like so off here today. And their music. And they are wonderful composers from the theater who composed The Fantastics and all of the music from The Fantastics, 110 in the Shade, Celebration. What else? A couple more in there.
Oh, don't ask me.
Okay. I won't then.
As well be asking me algebra, Michael. This is your forte now.
Oh, well, it was such a treat to hear some of them because many of them are songs that we haven't heard before. I Do is another show that they wrote, very famous, right? But they had, there were accompanied, the musical director for the evening was John Boswell, who is one of the most magnificent musical directors in Los Angeles. And they had a cast including Lauren Rubin, Michael G. Hawkins, Michaela Lee, who is currently one of the stars in 1776, playing Martha Jefferson.
Oh, yeah.
And Will Collier, who has starred in the L.A. Debut of Big, the musical, a sensational young man in the theater, great singer. And the amazing Camille Saviola, who just took my breath away. She is from Nine on Broadway and is just the most captivating, interesting, thoughtful kind of singer, you know, an actress. I mean, you really can tell this woman's working and understands what she's singing about. So this is an event that occurs monthly, ladies and gentlemen, on Wednesdays at the Gardenia Restaurant, and it's very simple to attend, and each month is a new, they pay tribute to a new set of composers. And by the way, Rex Smith was also a part of the evening. And that's something that I wanted
to
point
out. Yeah,
we had
him on the show. Nice gentleman.
Yeah.
Okay. All right, good.
So just simply call the Gardenia Restaurant in Hollywood, ladies and gentlemen, and you will be on the list for their next show, which is coming up on September 7th, and it is the music of Frank Lesser.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
That's the next one on the schedule. Okay, I'm going to introduce our next guest. If that's
absolutely,
at 11 years
do.
Of age. And thank you for your patience, Daisy. At 11 years of age, our next guest became the youngest female ever to win a Tony Award for creating the role of Mary Lennox in The Secret Garden on Broadway, as Michael said. And as he also said, her acceptance speech at the 1991 Tony Awards was as moving and memorable as her performances were nightly at the St. James Theater, followed by joining the cast of Les Miserables on Broadway and other theater ventures and appearances in film and on television. She will co-star in a special world premiere presentation of The Real Love, a new musical, August 27th at the Pasadena Civic Auditorium. She'll then head back to New York to begin work on a new theater project. Please welcome Miss Daisy Egan is with us.
Yay!
Yay!
That was such a lovely introduction. Thank you.
You want to hear it even better? Just the tail end, just the last line. Please welcome Miss Daisy Egan.
Nice. Yeah, I just ripped off my sunglasses.
So Daisy, I gotta confess, I was listening to Mother Love because I was in the lobby here and I was listening to your Mother Love interview. Mm-hmm. Mother Love is another host that is on LA Talk Radio, and. Before we actually talk about this performance that you're doing, you mentioned that you struggled with something that I struggled with for a long time, and I actually wrote a one-person show to combat my coping
stage
with stage fright. Yes. I
had,
out of nowhere, I just started getting stage fright in my early 30s.
Really?
And I decided I had to stare down the dragon, so I figured, what's the scariest thing you can do? Autobiographical one-person show.
Yeah, you have nobody else up there to save your butt.
And what do you do to, because you don't mind being a public service announcement, do you?
No, as I said on Mother Jones.
Mother Love.
I'd love to be in Mother Jones.
Oh, yeah.
If anybody from Mother Jones is listening.
Do they still publish Mother Jones?
Yeah, they're great. Still stirring up the, you know, pot. As I told Mother Love, I take a beta blocker called Inderol. Who prescribed it for me? A neurologist I went to, because I'm shaky. I tend to have a tremor. So I finally go in to see him after years of having this tremor. And his first question was, are you Jewish? And given that his name was like Harold Mandelbaum, I wasn't too concerned with the question. So I said, yeah, actually I am. And he said, well, a lot of Eastern European Jews have, and he listed this great list of diseases that we're known for, discovering in our own way. And I guess we tend to have a tremor. I suppose being chased out of, your homeland for 3,000 years would make you a little nervous.
Has a tendency to make you edgy.
A little tad.
No. I don't trust anybody. So he prescribed this drug, and people take it for, like, test anxiety, public speaking stuff. And it doesn't do anything to your mental state. It keeps you totally clear. It just slows your heart rate a little bit and gets rid of the shakies.
Oh. That's interesting, because I never actually went the medication route, because I just went pretty much directly to bourbon.
Well, I also drink a glass of wine usually before I perform as well. Or but, while I'm performing, if I can.
It depends on if you can write it. Well, if you write it yourself, you can.
Yeah, well, in my one-woman show, I definitely had a glass of wine.
What was your one-woman show called?
It was called Still Daisy After All These Years.
Really?
And it just sort of sprung up from my performing in cabarets here and there and the patter that, you know, just sort of was naturally coming. I was making people laugh, and I realized that I had this story that people wanted to hear.
When was the last time you did that in Los Angeles? You've done it here twice, haven't
March,
you?
March, yeah.
March.
I did it, the first time I did it was July of 2010, mm-hmm. and that was 3 hours long because my watch broke in the middle of the show. And I looked at my watch at one point, and I was like, oh, we're doing great on time.
And when you're on a beta blocker, 3 hours
exactly.
seems like two.
I was like, that went by. And my dad came up, he surprised me and came out for the show, and he came up to me afterward, and he said, you know, that your story is dynamite. That's really, you really have something to share, but... 3 hours is a little much, and I was horrified. I was horrified with myself.
You really didn't know that it went that long.
No, not at all. And then when I went back and watched the tape of it, I was like, what in God's name was I doing?
Oh, man.
Shut up and stop talking.
Oh, my gosh. That's funny.
And then I did it in New York. I did it out here on March 3rd, and then I did it in New York at the Laurie Beachman on March 28th.
I did my show at the Laurie Beachman.
Did you?
Yes, the basement of the West Bank Cafe.
Yeah, Phil Bond is a good friend.
Yeah,
so.
Kenny Bell, I think, was the guy that
When were you there?
I was there, about 5 years ago, five, 6 years ago.
Yeah.
We did it there, and then it was sort of a preamble, and I went to the Players Theater
on
McDougal.
Yeah, I'm trying to figure out what to do with my show right now.
Well, I have one idea.
Yeah?
Come to Sterling's upstairs at Vitello's.
Yeah, I will. Absolutely.
We're the number one supper club in town for presenting the best of Broadway performance in concert.
I saw Jim J. there. I loved it.
Yeah.
He was great.
Oh, Jim J. Bullock.
Yeah.
Yes. Sweet guy. We had him on the show as well.
He was great. He's so
funny. So you know Michael's Club, so you've been there.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
I saw Jim J. there. That was the first time I'd ever been.
It's a great room,
isn't it?
It's
beautiful, yeah.
Thank you.
And you will attest to this because you played the Beachman. It's just like a New York supper club.
Yes.
It's got that vibe. It's like you don't realize you're in Studio City. Nothing against Studio City.
It's beautiful,
lovely
beautiful
to Hunger Village.
No, it is sort of old style New York. It's nice, yeah.
Yeah. Well, Michael is sort of old style.
He is.
Where's
your pinky ring, Michael?
That's
me.
Not that old.
Did you take care of that thing for me?
Did you take care of that thing for me, the guy, at that
time? So the thing that you're doing in town, Ghostlight.
No, that's in New York. Although, I'm going to say, since we're on the Italian, New York Italian accent, that this Wednesday, August 10th, at 8 p.m. and 10 p.m., I'm going to be playing Snooki in the Jersey Shoresicle, a frickin' rock opera.
Wait a minute.
At the Bootleg Theater.
Okay.
I believe the 8 p.m. show is sold out or almost sold out. That's why they added the 10. You can go to thebootlegtheater.com, and that's theater with an E-R, not an R-E, E-R.com. Tickets are $15, and you get to watch me suck on pickles and...
Now,
get punched in the
face.
If I hear that one more time today.
Is this a product of the Havoc Theater Company, which holds residence there, or is it just...
No. Oh. This is Daniel Francese and Hannah... I hope I said that right, because he's actually a friend of mine.
Hannah Montana.
No, yeah. Hannah Lopatin. They got together and wrote this. They were doing UCB stuff, and they were like, hey, man, you know, this is comedy gold.
It's hysterical.
Yeah. I actually ran into him as he was writing it. And I was like, oh, that sounds like a great idea. And then he called me one day and said, would you be interested in coming in and playing the grenade? That's the ugly girl that the girls bring over that one of the guys, like, is obliged
grenade.
To sleep with. They call her the grenade. It's awful. I was going to do the grenade. But then, as it turns out, they extended the run. And the girl playing Snooki couldn't do this night. So they asked me to step in and... They're going to spray tan me, and I'm going to get pink nails.
So you'll be just like an Oompa Loompa.
Exactly.
Like that orange
Oompa Loompa. A midget Guidette.
I want to go on record as saying Miss Snooki is not of Italian descent. She's Chilean.
And she was adopted, right?
Yeah. But it was just like, you know, I did a TV show called The Untouchables, and I did Tony and Tina's Wedding. So believe me, if not for perpetuating Italian stereotypes, I wouldn't have worked for like 8 years. So I'm not getting the highfalutin or high on the horse. It's just something about Jersey Shore that just...
I'm Irish and Ukrainian, so...
But how do you...
What a combination.
I would be fascinated to see that, because Jersey Shore is already... almost a parody of itself.
Yeah.
So it's got, it'd be really, well, of course, adding music to it.
It's
got to really make it
It's
crackle.
A rock opera.
Oh, that's hysterical.
It's almost all sung. And it's there's really no set. There's no, I mean, it's very minimal, and it's hilarious. And the cast is 100%, you know, in it, involved, loves it, has fun, and the audience loves it.
Oh.
It's great.
Oh,
and
that's right, because you had the opportunity to see it, because you're doing a fill-in.
And they're going to the New York Fringe.
And, oh, impressive.
They're getting a lot of buzz. And I'm hoping that the Jersey Shore cast will be back from Italy before then, so that they can actually go see it.
That they can see it. Would you give us the way? It's Bootleg Theater RE.
Right. ER.
Oh, it's ER, not RE.
Yeah, like theater.
The theater.
Bootlegtheater.com.
Okay.
And it's this Wednesday.
This Wednesday, and then on August 27th.
I will be doing The Real Love.
A new musical.
Yes, that was what I thought was in town when I started talking about ghosts. Boy, you are just the busiest woman in showbiz.
Knock on wood, man.
Yeah.
Knock on wood.
And that is going to be at the Pasadena Civic Auditorium, ladies and gentlemen, at 2 p.m. And it is not only starring Daisy, but also other lovely cast, including
Katie Huffman,
Adam Pascal, and Rob Torti, who's fantastic.
And gorgeous, by the way.
Oh, my gosh. And Don McLean, too?
Yeah.
Oh.
Well, he's not in the show. He does a concert beforehand.
Oh, okay. But he'll be there.
Uh-huh.
And Betty Buckley
American
will
Pie.
Be there.
Betty Buckley and apparently Cloris Leachman. And
Cloris. Lovely Cloris. And and Shirley Jones, I see.
Shirley Jones.
Marty Ingalls, of course, her husband. Mm-hmm. And so this is a one-time event, huh?
Yeah. It's a brand new world out there. You know what I mean? It's a one-time event, but it's a fully produced, fully staged, fully costumed, setted, 21-piece orchestra.
Holy cow.
Event. And the cast is gigantic. I think there's like 40 people.
My gosh. And music is by Bill Conti?
Uh-huh. Bill Conti and Don Pippin and a bunch of other people. And I have to tell you that the music is gorgeous. It really is beautiful. And to hear the cast singing in four-part harmony, all these beautiful songs, and they're all poems that the woman who the show is based on wrote. Supreme Master Ching Hai.
A renowned spiritual leader, humanitarian, poet, and artist.
Right. So it's a story. It's based on her. It's based on her time in Germany and India in the 70s. So it's beautiful. It's going to be a fun day.
It sounds like a lot of work just for one performance.
I know. But
you know, I always seek those things out. Like when you're on Gold Star and things like that and you see those things, I always seek out those things that are the very, very short runs. Two reasons. One is it's the only opportunity you get to see them. And two is, you know, they're going to F and crackle because the energy is such that they're putting everything into it. It's like opening night and closing night on the same evening.
Well, I keep telling my castmates that by the third performance, we're just going to have it down pat.
Yeah. And that is, we should say, the reallovemusic.com is the website.
Yes.
TheRealLoveMusic.com.
And I think tickets are also at Ticketmaster.
Okay.
All right.
I probably have that conduit.
All right. Well, that's something
that
to see
too.
And unique in itself, as just described, and one time only. So you got to be there for that, right? Absolutely.
Yeah.
And then followed by Ghost Light, which Daisy is doing in New York. You do that through September 26th, October 9th at Signature Theater's Peter Norton space.
Yep.
That's pretty cool. And now, is that your first time back in New York in a while?
It sure is. Besides doing my one-woman show, it is my first time performing in New York in for years.
And are you from there originally?
Yeah.
From Brooklyn?
Yeah, I'm from Brooklyn, New York, and I left in 2003 to come out here. And what can I say? I'm going back. I'm terrified, but I think it'll be fun.
I can say that I think we're really happy that you've come back to do all of these things.
Thanks.
Yeah,
I quit. You know, I retired for four years ago I quit.
Yeah, I heard you telling Mother Love that as well.
Yeah.
You started to like L.A. more.
I did.
Once I quit, I
started to like L.A. a lot more. I was like, oh, it's not just actors here.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Yeah.
She also has a very, very nice relationship with quite a gentleman that I met the other night. Because we met on Friday at the Glendale Center Theater.
Oh, okay.
She came out to see the show. So that's nice to have a partner that seemed very sensible and you know, kind of in tune to everything.
Yeah, my boyfriend is, or my partner, as I actually like to call him, is not an actor. He went to ADA out here.
He's a writer, isn't he?
He's a writer.
Yeah.
And he's just written a children's book. And he is awesome. And it's and he is. He's very grounding.
I know what that's
sort
like.
I buzz around a little bit. He's kind of my anchor. So
yeah, I have
nice.
The same thing with my wife. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes,
she's not,
yes.
A, not a performer.
His wife
and
Monica
never,
is
I never
fantastic.
Know how people do that.
Yeah.
You know, how two performers. I mean, I can't imagine it.
I know. I can't either.
I mean, my ex-boyfriend was a musician and performer. And it was always a little sort of...
Yeah, yeah. Well, the other thing, too, is that, I mean, I know this about myself. It's just that I pretty much exhaust people.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
Just, I can't imagine two
yeah,
people.
No.
Like,
oh, no, not you.
No, I know.
No,
I know.
It's great. When we have parties, he likes to serve and clean up, and he lets me, you know, have the spotlight, which is what I like.
Speaking of spotlight, I just realized that we're out of time, but can you give us... Did you hear what we had asked Anna? Of course
I
you did.
Did.
You're sitting right here. Do you have a nightmare story for us?
Well, it doesn't have to do with the theater.
Doesn't matter.
Okay. I was auditioning for a commercial where they needed, like, acrobats, which I didn't know when I got there. They were like, tell us what...
I like it already.
Yeah, tell us what acrobatics you can do. I was like, I can somersault, and that's about it. But they also wanted me dressed goth. I was basically going to be like a little gnome. It was like progressive ads with like the little... Anyway. So I do this whole thing where I like prepare and I'm stretching and I'm doing like, you know, like an Olympian. And then I get out and do a pratfall. Right. And that was like my bit.
Right.
But then I also did some tumbles. And they're filming it, right? So all is well. And I finish the audition. And I go to work. And I go to the restroom. And I realize that I'm wearing a black... pantyhose with fishnets over them, and I wasn't wearing underwear, and there was a hole in the crotch.
Oh, Lord.
And I literally sat there looking at my pantyhose for probably 10 minutes, like, oh my God, somewhere out there is a tape of me rolling around on the floor in a miniskirt.
Talk about progressive.
Yeah. It was a little too progressive for them.
I would say that beats Anna's fast change.
It does. It does. Yeah.
Definitely. Sorry about that, Anna.
Oh, Daisy, thank you so much for being on the show.
Thanks
Daisy, do you have a website of your own?
I do. DaisyEagan.com.
Yes.
EAGAN.
Okay. And it's Daisy with a Y, not an IE.
Exactly.
Okay.
Just like the
That's
bomb.
Right.
Or the razor. Okay. DaisyEagan.com. And you can follow me on Twitter at DaisyEagan. Or on Facebook at Daisy Egan. It's just Daisy Egan all over the place, 24/7.
And it's Daisy Egan on stage all over the place for the next couple of weeks. And,
yes, on
and
the West I'm Coast sure. and the East Coast.
Pleasure. Absolute pleasure
Thanks,
having you
guys.
You'll have to come back because we only got started with you.
I would love to.
Yeah,
anytime.
We should. Awesome.
Anytime.
Have you back again.
All right, Paul, thank you.
Thank you, Michael, and we will see you all next week.
Indeed.
You're listening to State of the Art with Michael Sterling and Paul Strolley right here on LA Talk Radio.